Training Wyoming, one home at a time.
Many people don't sleep well on their existing mattress. If you're one of those people, you really need to visit Mountain Mattress Company. We have something for every style of sleep with the largest selection of mattresses in Sheridan. Mountain Mattress is your local dealer for Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, Helix, and Sealy Posturepedic. Come see for yourself what we have to offer and experience better sleep with help from Mountain Mattress Company, 226 North Main in Sheridan.
Alpine Climate Control can help you with the design and the materials to make your backyard a true oasis. We've got fire pits, outdoor heating, pizza ovens, and even seating ideas. Stop by and visit our showroom with many working models and let us help you design your backyard for maximum time spent enjoying it. We've also got a few working floor models remaining on sale. Visit alpineclimatecontrol.com or visit us in person at 2705 Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan.
As Northeast and Central Wyoming's only Lazy Boy Gallery, we help design furniture that's made just for you. Pick your fabrics and choose your features. From power reclining to personalized support, we'll create a piece that fits your lifestyle. And as we like to say,
long live the lazy.
Visit us at Carol's Furniture, 340 North Main in Sheridan, or browse all your options at carolsfurniture.com. Carol's Furniture, where your comfort is custom fit.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, May 6th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting. And this is Public Pulse. And this morning we are joined by Sheridan Police Department Chief Travis Koltiska and Captain Tom Ringley. Good morning, gentlemen, and welcome back to the show.
Morning, Floyd.
Chief, how are things down at the department?
Very good. You know, we're rolling into summer, even though 22 degrees last night wasn't exactly summer, but we're rolling in. Things are picking up. It always happens. We talk about it every spring. As the weather gets warmer, people start getting out and about. Causes our numbers to go up a little bit as well, but things are good right now. We're just about to hire a new CSO, a community service officer. Michaela Langer will start May 18th.
Oh, fantastic.
So that's good news for us. Having that, we've had an open position for a little while now, so having that filled. New dispatcher's been training for a while. I think we talked about last time. So he's been in training for about 3 weeks now, 4 weeks. So yeah, we're getting our staffing up there and moving right along.
In the conversations that you're having with individuals regarding tourism and people coming into town, is there any talk of the price of fuel kind of slowing things down this year?
Not that we're hearing on the street, I guess, but we're not seeing that yet. I mean, that's always a concern that there will be less travel. Fuel prices for not only just airfare in, but if you decide to drive, it is a little more taxing on the pocketbook, but it's always something we consider.
Yeah.
And so we'll see how it shakes out.
They just kind of adjust as on the fly.
Yeah. But I think overall, most people, they plan their vacations far enough in advance. They're not, most of the time they don't cancel them because of fuel prices. They just make adjustments in other areas.
Yeah. Maybe stay a little closer to home or something.
Or maybe just make other arrangements for how they plan on spending their evenings and their meals and their some of those things. So
I think it's an excellent opportunity for Wyoming residents to finally come up here and take a staycation in Sheridan.
I think Sheridan will. I mean, the rooms are always 100% full in the summer or close to it. And I don't think that'll be any different. Every time there has been in the past, there's been a spike in fuel prices, although none of them have been this extreme. We've been just as busy.
Well, that's fantastic that the Emerald City draws them in no matter what. And that's great to hear. Captain, it's National Police Week as of the beginning of next week. What is National Police Week?
National Police Week runs from May 10th, which is a Saturday, through May 16th, with Peace Officer Memorial Day on Friday, May 15th. The origin of the week is in 1962, President Kennedy signed a proclamation which designated May 15th as Peace Officers Memorial Day, and a week in which that date falls as Police Week. It offers honor and remembrance and peer support while allowing law enforcement, survivors, and citizens to gather and remember and pay homage to those that gave their lives or were injured in the line of duty.
When we look at Peace Officers Memorial Day, we tend to think about everyone coming together, but the law enforcement itself, the officers, and you two gentlemen, the leadership, what does it represent for you?
It's a somber day. It's not Police Officer Appreciation Week. It's Police Officer Memorial Week.
Yeah.
So it's a very somber day, especially given events in 2023 with the loss of Sergeant Nevada Paul Krenke. It means a lot to us always. And this year, we will be sending two officers to Washington, D.C. to take part in the services during Police Week. So it's tremendously important to us. And statewide, on the 15th at the Wyoming Law Enforcement Academy in Douglas, there will be a remembrance ceremony as well.
What a fantastic honor to be selected to go to Washington, D.C. for that. Chief, you've been up there. What's it like?
I guess sombering is a very, very good word, and reflectful. There were hundreds and thousands of individuals there that were honoring fallen officers across the nation, and there's a lot of camaraderie there that really allows us to draw from shared experiences, shared pain. You know, everybody there is there because they're remembering someone they lost that was very close to them. We had a pretty good contingent from the police department last year in D.C. as Sergeant Krenke's name was etched on the memorial wall. And there's a lot of reflection.
Yeah.
A lot of remembrance.
And if I may correct myself, and I apologize, it was 2024 when we suffered our loss, not 2023. Yeah.
No, that's okay. And now when we look at events like National Police Week, how do you feel it helps to support officers, survivors, and law enforcement families that are out there?
I can just tell you from personal experience and seeing that it makes it much easier to talk and to let everybody there experiencing and feeling the same thing. So you're with people who have experienced the same thing you've experienced, whether you're a family member, spouse, coworker, whatever role you're in, there's somebody there that can experience that and can, you know, we're always talking about how we were able to cope and get through those times. And so it was very, I met a lot of people that I still communicate with this day last year from NYPD, from different police departments and sheriff's offices that I met last year in D.C., that were just, you know, they were all in the same position we were in, and we were able to talk and share about our loss, and really it helps with the healing. I think it really does. And there's a lot of other things that go on during that week. The candlelight vigil is just, it's hard to describe. And then the memorial service on the Capitol lawn, they're things that are hard to describe. To see that support for law enforcement from across the country, it's amazing.
It's got to really hit you right in the chest.
It does. It does.
At the department itself, after such a loss, people come together. Have you seen that? The officer, maybe even if it's just something simple, a hand on a shoulder, or
we're that's every day with our department. The people on our team are very tight knit. You know, we obviously keep track of trends nationwide and news from other departments all over the country, and we, at least at our level, we're just not seeing the problems that other departments and other states experience, and that's because we have a tight-knit team. So we don't, you know, the week's fantastic because it provides dedicated forums for people to come together, but that's every day for us too. If people are needed a little pickup from their peers or from us, then it's there every day.
And I'll tell you, the community comes forward every year at this time as well. And that's a huge support for our department as well. Seeing the community come come forward and show their appreciation and remembrance and you know, remembering that what our loss was, because it was a community loss as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you think about our officers and, how tough they are, you know, and how they can face any problem, but we're all still human as well.
I mean, February 13th, obviously is that was the date of that, when we lost Sergeant Krinke. That is obviously extremely important to us.
Yeah.
And we mark that separately, but also, this week is vital as well.
How do the officers really come together and talk? Do they do it kind of in the small circles? Do they come to you?
A lot of times if you drive down the street and see two cars parked driver's door to driver's door, they're not slacking off. They're talking to each other.
Yeah.
I mean, we call it dooring up. And that's kind of a police tradition, but also just in having coffee on, you know, on standing around on calls, waiting for something, waiting for resources to arrive, or just off duty too. I think there are quite a few friend groups off duty officers as well. So it's just all inclusive.
In the Army, we call it the buddy check.
Yeah.
Where if someone's not communicating like they usually do, or maybe they're staring off in the distance a little too long, just go check on your buddy.
Or if performance drops and, you know, these guys and ladies and gentlemen know each other well enough when to know when something's not quite right.
And it's great to hear that it is that type of environment, because I personally feel that that's the type of environment that needs to be there. You can be tough when you need to be tough.
And like Chief said, Sheridan's a fantastic place to police.
Yeah.
So we're fortunate to where we don't have a lot of the external pressures that other agencies have. But still, as events over the last couple of years have shown, that we have confront the same problems as everywhere else.
And I always appreciate the two of you coming in and talking to me, because I can ask you questions like this next one. You've both served on the force for quite a few years.
Yeah.
Honorably. And how has the law enforcement profession changed in recent years when it comes to public expectations for officer safety?
Well, the main way it's changed is in agencies, and it's there is no shame in asking for help. In fact, we expect people to ask for help. I always tell people, you know, we get a paycheck, we have vacation time, we have sick time, but we also have a vibrant employee assistant program, part of which is a doctor in Cheyenne called Dr. Shana Smith, who's our psychiatrist. And we strongly encourage people to confidently talk to Dr. Smith's office. That's a big change from 20 plus years ago to when it was almost taboo. That ask for help and admit weakness and worry about, well, if something comes out, then it could affect my job. Now it's encouraged and lauded when people do ask for help. From the public, Sheridan's always been a fantastic place for me, and I think for both of us from day one. Like I said, we don't deal with a lot of issues. Like, every once in a while, someone would try to break out the name and badge number that they see on YouTube. But in general, you know, we treat people as well as we can. And by doing that, then people treat us well in return.
Yeah.
Nowhere's perfect. We do have the people that want to interfere and fight and give an events from a few weeks ago, shoot at us. But we have a professional staff or force, and you know, it's the golden rule: treat people as you want to be treated. So we treat the community well, we in turn get treated very, very well.
Chief, with that open door policy and that encouragement to go seek help when it's needed, have you seen true tangible results of, okay, well, the performance was kind of dropping down a little bit. It was maybe something was eaten away at this individual. Well, they went and got help. They come back, and holy cow, they're right back to themselves.
Well, I'll be more anecdotal than anything in this. Excuse me. Because I don't want to, you know,
absolutely
get too deep into it. But I have seen benefits of it. I have experienced personal benefits from it myself. I won't be ashamed to tell the listener out there that I have also gone to it through all of the stuff we went through. So I saw personal benefits from it. And you know, I there's always peaks and valleys whenever you experience something like that. Like the captain said, mental health and wellness is a focus in our society as a general and as a whole. And now I go to conferences across the nation. Mental health, wellness, and resiliency in law enforcement is a big topic across the country, and how agencies can provide abilities for officers to not just get through a 20-year career, how they can be healthy and live life after a 20-year
thrive
career.
In that career.
You know, it's not just making it, right? We're not trying to just make it. That's not what any of us want to do. We want to have a life after we've chosen to retire from this profession. And so there's a big focus on that across the country. And I know it's had positive effects across across the country.
That's fantastic to hear. And yeah. I'll gladly admit that I still go and see somebody at the VA.
It's not 20 years of 8 to 4, half the times on nights and dealing with all that and time away, people's time away from families. And this dispatchers as well. Let's not forget them. We're the only 24-hour agency in the county. And that's a grind too. So that's why it's vital that we take care of our people and they take care of themselves.
It's refreshing to see the take on mental health from leaders in you know, law enforcement. And it is about resilience, you know, mental resilience, emotional resilience. And when one knows themselves, boy, they can conquer just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. More with our Sheridan Police Department in just a moment. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
Many heating and cooling companies talk about big paydays, but here is what they don't say. With flat rate pay, if you're in training, you're not paid. Doing paperwork, not paid. Cleaning the shop, not paid. Warranty callbacks often aren't paid either. And during slow season, good luck. Some technicians end up making less than minimum wage when the hours aren't there. At Lee Heating and Cooling, we refuse to operate that way. If you're a journeyman who believes in doing the job right, not just fast, Lee Heating and Cooling is hiring. Built on integrity, paid by the hour.
Get ready to ignite your potential. Join us May 19th for the Chamber's 11th annual Ignite Conference, a power-packed day of professional development and business inspiration for professionals at every level. Topics include marketing, leadership, human resources, finance, business development, and technology. The lineup this year also features specialized executive and entrepreneurial tracks. For details and to register, visit SheridanWyomingChamber.org. The 2026 Ignite Conference is sponsored in part by Legacy Ridge Private Wealth, First Interstate Bank, and our Chamber community partners.
Take advantage of 3 daily flights this April and May between Sheridan and Denver, including additional afternoon flights allowing more convenient departure and return times. That means improved connectivity and more options when planning your next trip, with connections through Denver to over 200 U.S. cities all over the country. Check dates and availability, then book your flight at united.com. Skip the drive, skip the stress. Fly local, fly smarter, fly Sheridan.
Ah, road trips, where the snacks disappear in 5 minutes and somehow you're already asking, are we there yet? The good news, NAPA can at least make sure your car is ready, even if you're not. Enter the Are We There Yet Road Trip Ready sweepstakes for your chance to win a $500 prize package from NAPA, because nothing ruins a road trip faster than your car deciding it's done traveling. Enter now through May 7th on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com. NAPA, keeping your road trip rolling, 1 mile at a time.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. We're speaking with Sheridan Police Department Chief Travis Koltiska and Captain Tom Ringley. We're discussing National Police Week, which runs from Sunday, May 10th through Saturday, May 16th of this year, and Police Officer Memorial Day, a day where we should all take pause and remember those who gave their lives in the line of duty. This is Friday, May 15th. Captain, many residents will want to help out in any way that they can. We have a fantastic community here who really backs up its officers, its deputies, and other law enforcement. So how can Sheridan residents help improve safety for both officers and the public during things like traffic stops, emergency responses? How do we help out?
One of the biggest threats to law enforcement nationwide is traffic-related fatalities. A lot of those are officers either on traffic stops or conducting crash investigations being struck by vehicles.
I think we've all seen those horrible in traffic videos. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In 2025, 111 officers lost their lives in the line of duty, and of those, 34 were traffic-related fatalities. And so some of those are driving, but what we would ask people is if you see an officer on a traffic stop or at a crash scene or a trooper on the interstate or a deputy on the county roads, slow down and give them as much room as possible. On the interstates, you have to change lanes and slow down to 20 miles an hour below the speed limit, if I'm not mistaken. In town, on Coffeen Avenue, change lanes and slow down as much as you can. If it's a regular roadway, slow down and get over.
Mm-hmm.
Give us room to do our jobs and so we can do it safely.
And if you have a whole bunch of traffic coming from the other direction on a two-lane road, it's okay to slow down a lot. Just,
yeah,
there's someone's life.
Yeah, and pay attention to what you're doing. If there's something the community needs to know, we'd obviously put it out as soon as we can. But just drive. Just be safe and pay attention at all times.
And those red and blues are distracting too. Yeah. Don't let them distract you. They're meant to notify you that there's a situation that you need to be cautious of. So be more cognizant of the road and all mm-hmm. that. Don't let them distract you. Let them be used for what they're for, to notify you to use caution in that area for whatever reason.
I'm glad you brought that up, Chief, because I will admit, driving on the freeway at night, I've had to be here kind of late sometimes, or we're leaving an event, and maybe there's flashing lights on the freeway way out there in the dark of night, and it is a bit distracting. And so I try to make a real effort, keep your eyes on the road, don't let those cherries really kind of catch you off guard.
Well, everybody's curious what's going on, right? So they want to see, they want, what is that? Is it a wreck? Is it, what is it? And they're all curious. And I've actually investigated many accidents in town where I was working an accident. Thankfully, it didn't strike a pedestrian or me, but all of a sudden hear a collision right next to me. And it was because somebody was looking at the crash I was working and run into another car. Mm-hmm. I've had to do that several times.
Wow.
In my career. So yeah, be very cognizant of those lights. Yield to those lights when they're approaching behind you. Just as soon as possible, pull to the right curb and stop. And that for all first responder vehicles, it's the safest way to do that. And it'll make it safer for our response. If we're going somewhere with our red blue lights on, somebody is having an emergency situation that we need to go intervene. We don't travel with our red and blues on unless there's a probability of somebody being hurt.
Yeah,
and that's just the way we operate.
And YDOT just had their construction worker safety week, mm-hmm. and Laura Dallas, super great woman, actually started talking about the Wyoming move over law. And so this is something that applies to everybody out there on the road. And I just wanted to ask you real quick, can you explain the Wyoming move over law and what drivers are legally required to do around these emergency situations?
That's what I cited when talking about the troopers up on the interstate. You have to change, get into the furthest lane away from the stop or the activity and slow down, 20 miles an hour below the speed limit. If you're in town or on a small county road and you see something, slow down and give the event as much room as possible.
So there you go, folks. It's not recommendation. That is the law.
trying to protect our first responders, our officers, patrol officers, and our construction workers. Now, what advice would you give drivers who kind of panic? There's some individuals who get a little excited. They see the cherries. They start getting worried. Do you have any advice for those individuals?
Yeah, I mean, we've said it many times on here, just that officer is conducting a stop or trying to get by you for whatever reason. They're going to come up and approach you and behave in the same manner that they feel, depending on how their safety is, right? So if you keep going it heightens your senses a little bit if you don't pull over to the right, or if you start, you know, a lot of people will pull into parking lots like at night where it's dark, and they're like, well, we wanted to get you off the road. No, we could think you're luring us into a back dark parking lot, right? So just those that are getting nervous, just take a few breaths. Know we're going to come up. We're going to be a professional. We're going to identify ourselves. We're going to tell you the reason for the stop. And we tell everybody, if you, and we've said this before, if you feel you've been treated unfairly or illegally, arguing with the officer on the stop at that time, in any situation, that is not the way to resolve that situation at that time. We have a complaint process. We take all complaints. I know the other agencies here in Sheridan County do as well. So don't just sit there and do what you're asked by the officers and get through it. And if you have something that you need to discuss with a supervisor, that's the way to handle it.
We're not going to conduct a trial on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm. That is not the job of the officers.
Correct.
So folks, there you go. Now, as Police Week approaches, is there a final message that you would like to share with the Sheridan community about supporting public safety, maybe saying hi to our officers and, hey, happy Police Week? I mean, it's supposed to be kind of a memorial, but how do we show our appreciation?
Just by continuing to be supportive of our agency and law enforcement and first responders in Sheridan County. I mean, we have that support. I know that we have a tough job. I can speak for my department that it is a department full of incredible people of high character who are out there doing it for the right reasons, because they are invested in the safety of this community and our quality of life. They want that same thing for themselves, and whatever action they're taking is to improve that. And so just continue to show that support through your cooperation and through, you know, continue to be who Sheridan is. That's all I can say. It's pretty vague, pretty general, but you know, I won't say, you know, go running up to them and say thank you and give them this. If they're doing something, let them do their job. And obviously we have officers who are going to be polite and professional, and we like to talk to people. And so if you see one out there and it doesn't look like they're in the middle of an investigation or the middle of doing something, and you want to go up and chat and say hi, feel free. They'd be happy to talk to you.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if you get recruited, though. No, seriously, it's a great community, and part of that is with all this, we still expect our community to help us hold ourselves accountable. So if there are any issues also, please let us know. We're more than happy to look into stuff and see if there's a way we can improve.
Chief, Captain, I want to thank you both so much for coming on the show. It's always great having you guys in here. I would say happy Police Week, but I don't know if that's how we express
it. It's like Veterans Day or Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Well, more Memorial Day, exactly, like Memorial Day, actually. So it's just like that. It's just if everyone just takes a second to think about fallen officers, troopers, deputies, corrections officers, that's more than enough.
Yep.
Fantastic. Thank you, gentlemen, so much. All right. When we return, we're going to speak with Johnson County Commission Chair Bill Novotny. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to eFirstFederal.bank for full details.
The optical team at Eye Care of the Bighorns are serving up serious style with designer eyewear.
Prada, Jimmy Choo, Nike, Ray-Ban, Maui Jim, Kate Spade, Vera Bradley, Betsy Johnson, and that's just warming up. Sunglasses for everybody by every designer with anti-reflective coatings to reduce glare and reduce eye strain and fatigue, protecting you from Wyoming's harsh sun, snow glare, and wind.
Eye Care of the Bighorns, insightful eye care for all seasons. Stop by 1033 Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan.
Mossholder's Design Center is here to help you create a space that you'll love. If you're relocating, remodeling, or just refreshing your home, Mossholder's talented design team can help you through the process. With free in-home consultations, Mossholder's will be able to find the furniture and finishing touches that work best with your space, your lifestyle, and your budget. So if you want to change the look of just one room or furnish an entire home, Mossholder's designers can get it done. Mossholder's, furniture is our passion.
Hello, I'm Kurt Layer with Midas. You ever turn down the radio just to listen to your car? Was that a squeak or a grind, or did something just fall off? Yep, probably time for Midas. Right now, save up to $80 on tires and get a free oil change when you buy four tires. That's real savings on something your car actually needs, whether it's brakes, suspension, warning lights, or even just routine maintenance. Midas has you covered. Stop by Midas on East Brundage Lane today before your car starts talking back. Midas Tire and Auto on East Brundage Lane in Sheridan.
This is Brad at Prime Rate Motors. If you're looking for a good, honest, pre-owned vehicle, stop by and see what we've got on the lot. Pickups, SUVs, and cars that are ready for Wyoming roads and Wyoming weather. No runaround, just solid vehicles at fair prices. Whether it's for work, ranch, or just getting around town, we'll help you find the right ride. Prime Rate Motors at 2305 Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan, or visit us online at primeratemotors.com.
Ah, road trips, where the snacks disappear in 5 minutes and somehow you're already asking, are we there yet? The good news, NAPA can at least make sure your car is ready, even if you're not. Enter the Are We There Yet Road Trip Ready sweepstakes for your chance to win a $500 prize package from NAPA, because nothing ruins a road trip faster than your car deciding it's done traveling. Enter now through May 7th on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com. NAPA, keeping your road trip rolling, 1 mile at a time.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and for our second part this morning, I am joined by a very early rising Johnson County Commission Chairman, Mr. Bill Novotny. Good morning, sir.
Floyd, it's good to be on the radio with you. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. You are in another time zone this morning.
It's all right. It's always good to talk to you, buddy.
I greatly appreciate you. How are things in Johnson County, Commissioner?
You know, obviously we're all very, very concerned about the water and prospects of drought this year. But all in all, things are good, Floyd. We're really pleased. We've got a settlement with Carbon Creek, which is one of the largest employers in the county. We're going to be optimistic about our future and that people are going to be able to keep their jobs, and we're going to continue to produce gas. But we're looking at the mountains and saying, gosh, we wish there was a little more snowpack up there so we could squeeze just a little more water out of it.
Absolutely. My wife takes a walk by the creek quite often. And she came home, I believe it was Saturday, and said that it was pretty dang low already. And that kind of breaks my heart. I look forward to that big wash off every year.
You know, it is. And this is actually the first time. So yesterday, our Lake Desmet Operating Department, who's run by Paul Mavrakis, met with the state engineer's office. And we are actually now regulated off. So we are not putting any more water into Lake Desmet. There is not enough water in Piney Creek to meet our permits what our water rights are there. So we're going to have to make that work. We've got downstream users that ask us to put water out. Of course, the most important thing that we have in Lake DeSmet is it's a recreational body, and there's industrial water in there as well. But because of the drought conditions, we cannot put any more water in because more senior water right users are calling and say, hey, we need water to take care of our ag operations. So it's going to be real interesting this summer.
How are the conversations with the ag industry currently in Johnson County? Are they expressing a lot of concern?
You know, Floyd, they really are. And particularly if you're in that lowland country out in the Powder River Basin where we've gone through the big house draw fire and you were really hoping that we'd have late season moisture that would help with the regeneration of the grasses out there while they're working to stop those invasives and get things to come back. But it's going to just be real interesting. So we can hope that we're getting some moisture, which is great. What we don't want is we don't want the wind and we don't want it to get too hot too fast. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty early in the season, but we're just hoping that we can just gradually ease into there and we're going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, when it comes to Lake DeSmet, sir, there is a level 2 water study that is going forward on that from partners over here in Sheridan. Where does Johnson County fit within those discussions, sir?
So we are basically the operator of the reservoir. It's one of those deals. Lake DeSmet is a beautiful body of water. Unfortunately, it's not in a spot that is advantageous for people who live in Johnson County who wanted to use it for municipal uses. So to get water from Lake DeSmet to go back to Buffalo, you'd have to pump it a long ways. In terms of if you lived in a subdivision and maybe you could use water out of the lake, it's just geographically and elevation-wise not in a good spot for our folks. So it really isn't advantageous. You know, one of the interesting things about there is municipal water in Lake DeSmet, and we have to remind our good friends in Sheridan pretty frequently that there are acre feet in that lake, but the water isn't owned by the city of Buffalo or the town or any of the municipalities. It's actually owned by the county. And so Sheridan County owns water in Lake DeSmet. Johnson County owns water in Lake DeSmet. We actually sell some of our water every year to the town of Claremont. So if the city of Sheridan or SAWS wants to use that water, at some point they're going to either have to make an agreement with Sheridan County, with Johnson County, or the state of Wyoming. We don't just give that water away. It takes money to operate that reservoir. So it's not as easy as saying, I got a straw, I want to suck it out of there and put it over there.
There's going to have to be a lot of discussions at the table on this one.
It really is, Floyd. And that's, you know, we live in an arid, high desert. Everybody likes to have a beautiful lawn, likes to play golf, a beautiful park. But if we're going to have continued growth, we're either going to have to get a lot better at moving water around, or we're going to have honest conversations about growth and saying that if we're going to grow, we got to do better at conserving our water because we don't have any more of it. And last time I checked, the price tag of building a big storage facility like Bull Creek Reservoir was $150 or $200 million.
Wow. That's incredible. And that cost will continue to rise like so many others out there right now. Now, when we look at Lake DeSmet, there was a boat ramp added to the north side, correct? An entire area was recently added to that. Where do we stand on that construction currently? Are we good to go?
We are open for business. The only thing is that the ramp, Game and Fish is in the final design phase. They hope that they'll get that approved and then be able to pour that later this summer. The nice thing about where that's at, We don't have to raise or lower the level of the lake to build that. So as soon as Game and Fish gets their design done, they'll go ahead and construct that. They'll add bathrooms. We'll have a picnic area. But the north access is open. I know it's certainly going to be very convenient for folks that are coming down from Sheridan. You'll take that Piney Creek exit, head right out there. Hopefully we'll take some of the pressure of users off of Monument as well as the Mikesville Potts area so that everybody can have a really great time. But that we are open for business. Please enjoy that. It is your recreation area that is entirely available. So get out there and enjoy it.
I was driving over this morning just as the sun started to hit that thing, and I'm here to tell you, there are certainly reasons why we all live here, and that's one of them. Absolutely beautiful. The water looked so blue this morning. It really kind of struck me. It was great to see. As we look at projects, infrastructure or otherwise, what are Johnson County's priorities this year as we kind of move into a major construction project? You guys have had some great ones over the last year with Crazy Woman Canyon, making sure that that was safe for individuals to visit. I'm really looking forward to that. What are we looking at this year?
Floyd, we've got a couple of different things. There's going to be a surface overlay on parts of the interstate that we're going to piggyback off of around Lake Schmidt. We're working on design work for Rock Creek at Johnson Creek Road. We're also, and thanks to the state that awarded the city of Buffalo about $750,000 in infrastructure money, there may be some work done on Airport Road. It's one of those deals that, unfortunately, because of the cost of oil and steel and concrete, what we used to be able to do a mile is now you can do about a quarter of a mile. We're looking at preliminary costs. It's about $8 million now to rebuild a blacktop surface road.
So, wow.
We're not necessarily in preservation mode. We're still trying to be very proactive. And Scott Perringer and our entire crew at Road and Bridge do incredible work. But it's going to be difficult. You know, the other part that you just scratch your head at, we had a beautiful mild winter, which is good or bad. So we didn't spend a lot of money on plow and snow. Unfortunately, all that money that we saved this year, Floyd, in snowplow, we're going to put into probably having to carry water out to those projects where we're blading roads. Because the only way to get those washboards and those other things out is actually put water on them. And if it doesn't rain or gets droughty and windy, then we got to transport that water. So it's going to be an interesting year getting ready to do some of that dust abatement work that we do with the mag chloride to keep that dust down through those subdivisions, those roads that are highly traveled by folks who work in the oil and gas industry. But it's going to take water and also $4 to $6 a gallon diesel. We're going to be reevaluating what we do and really watching where we're spending our money.
Absolutely. And I would think that's probably going to be a main discussion. I imagine you've already had these with the other commissioners, trying to kind of figure that out, because there are some very serious challenges balancing long-term infrastructure needs with current budget realities. How are those discussions going with the budget? Have we got anything finalized yet? Are we in a pause? What's the situation?
So we're just starting the budget discussion. And what's interesting, there is actually a bit of a fight going on at the state level with what's called the State Board of Equalization. And they are fighting over the 4% cap on the growth of property taxes. We all love the 4% cap. That was a bill that Barry Crago sponsored. Marilyn Conley really believes in that. We've got great representatives in Northeast Wyoming who made sure that our folks are able to stay in their homes. But the State Board of Equalization has decided that that might not be constitutional. So they are telling us they might not be able to certify what the valuation of our counties is. which is going to throw the whole budget process really into question. And so our folks from the Wyoming County Commissioners Association are meeting with the governor's office and the state board right now saying, hey, you guys have to get this resolved. We have to know what our baseline number is that we're going to budget off of, because we have such important essential services to provide. And the biggest impacted entities by not getting certified are going to be those special districts. So it's fire, it's weed and pest, hospital, all those people that we know provide the most essential, important services. So if you see those representatives up there in Sheridan County, grab them by the ear and ask them, what in the heck is the State Board of Equalization doing? We want our 4% cap. Let's get this certified. Let's get this done so folks can get their budgets passed.
Absolutely. Now, when it comes to the upcoming construction project for the vets out there, where do we stand on that as of right now?
So we've got a contractor. They have authorization for the funding. So I think they're very, very close, Floyd, to starting mobilization. And it's going to be a wonderful project, but also it's going to be an interesting project, because you're going to have the residents that are up there. They're not going to lower the census or take folks out of the facility. So it's going to be an active construction zone. And so they're going to be flexing between space, but we are all set to get that going this summer. That's a long time coming. Again, that's another one of those that 3 or 4 years ago, the state of Wyoming could have saved $50 million. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they dilly-dallied. They played politics. They didn't care about our veterans and making sure we were serving our most vulnerable population, and it went up in cost. And this is one of those projects that is going to be reimbursable by the federal government once it's done. So I'm very, very optimistic that we're going to get a great project done, but it's going to be a little interesting. There's going to be dust flying up there, and folks are going to be moving around as they try to accommodate the people that live there and make that a world-class facility for veterans. And certainly you and your wife someday are going to be able the opportunity, if that's where you guys want to retire, and sit in a rocking chair and look at the Bighorn Mountains and live out your best life. Floyd, you earned that, and that is an incredible asset that I'm so glad we have.
I'll tell you what, you know, that doesn't sound like a bad place to call home for your golden years, sitting there looking at the Bighorns. That location out there is absolutely beautiful. If you haven't visited the vet's home out there, it's a beautiful place. Fantastic new nursing facility out there for our veterans. Something that I greatly appreciated when Johnson County got awarded that and was able to get that put up for the individuals that are out there looking to get some quiet to their lives and make sure that all their medical needs are actually fulfilled. I really do appreciate those nurses out there. Sir, before I run out of time with you, let's talk about some upcoming summer events or community activities in the county that you're especially excited to support this year. What do we got coming up?
Well, you know, obviously the biggest thing is it's going to be the 250th anniversary of America. And so you're going to see some additional activities that we don't normally have on our calendar. We're going to have a parade over the 4th of July. There's going to be a concert, different things, but just those little things that Crazy Woman Canyon is going to open up. We're going to get the roads that are Forest Roads, Hazleton Road. Those are going to open up. We're about a year out. We'll have the North American Basque Organization will be with us next year. So there's a lot of planning going on for that, but just wonderful activities. Saturdays in the square. They got a great committee that gets some great bands. It'll be doing that. So it's going to be a wonderful summer in Buffalo, all of Johns County. One that I'm really looking forward to that's going to be the inaugural event down in KC. They're going to do their Bluegrass Music Festival, taking the place of Chris Ledoux Days.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be down at Harold Girard Park. It's going to be awesome. And that'll be in June.
I'm looking forward to that. I didn't know that they were kind of switching that up. That sounds like it's going to be a really good time. I've been waiting for a Bluegrass Festival to kind of fire back up in the area.
Absolutely. We have such great music culture, and it starts with our incredible teachers, Lynn Young, who mentors those kids that were through the Bluegrass Camp for Kids. It's still going on, even though we don't have the Bluegrass Festival. Then, of course, they work through our school system. We have a great music and choral program, great theater department, really nurture that ability and those talents. Then those folks who choose to show up on Thursday nights at the Occidental and play in the jam there. And it's just wonderful that we have such a vibrant musical community in Buffalo and the surrounding area. And it's going to be wonderful to see that down in KC, and it's going to be a wonderful time down there. I think it's a 3-day event.
Oh, wow. That's going to be great. Sir, I've run out of time with you. I want to thank you so much for getting up early to be with us today. Whatever you're doing, go enjoy the rest of your time. Thank you so much for giving us yours.
Always a pleasure, Floyd. Take care, buddy.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
Get ready to ignite your potential. Join us May 19th for the Chamber's 11th annual Ignite Conference, a power-packed day of professional development and business inspiration for professionals at every level. Topics include marketing, leadership, human resources, finance, business development, and technology. The lineup this year also features specialized executive and entrepreneurial tracks. For details and to register, visit SheridanWyomingChamber.org. The 2026 Ignite Conference is sponsored in part by Legacy Ridge Private Wealth, First Interstate Bank, and our Chamber community partners.
It's the 110th anniversary of PO News in downtown Sheridan, and that can only mean one thing, a big old party with all their friends. May 9th, from 4 to 8 p.m., they'll be partying in the street with their famous Sheridan beer brewed by Gruner Brothers Brewery, cigar pairings, food from PO News, and live music by Jeannie Lee and The Reckoning. Put on your party shoes and head on down. It's the 110th anniversary of PO News, May 9th. Sponsored in part by First Northern Bank and Sheridan Media. You still have time to sign up for the long-term homeowners 50% exemption and the veterans property tax exemption, but the deadline is approaching quickly. If you think you may qualify and haven't already signed up, call the Sheridan County Assessor's Office today at 674-2535 or stop by 224 South Main Street, room 105 on or before May 26th. Again, the deadline to sign up for the 50% long-term homeowners and the veterans property tax exemptions is May 26th.
Hey, Sheridan County, get your pen out to write down some dates and times. You're invited to join gubernatorial candidate Brent Behan on his Sheridan County tour from Sheridan to Dayton and Story, May 8th through May 11th. Friday, May 8th, join him at Warehouse Gastro Pub for coffee from 8:30 to 10, or catch him from noon to 1 at the Hub on Smith. Then, kick up your heels with Brent and live music at the Women's Club in Dayton from 6 to 8:30. The Brent Behan Tour. Catch it for yourself.
I am Brent Behan, and I approve this ad.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM KROE.
KROE.